I'm Jim Rickard from the Stewardship Services Foundation, and this is the question for today. What are the advantages of a living trust? You hear this talked about. You hear this advertised on radios, and you see advertisements in newspapers and publications. So what is the advantage of a living trust? Well, you have a choice of a will and how you pass the ownership of your assets to your heirs, and you have the choice of a living trust. Typically, when you pass your ownership of your assets by a will you and your wife have had prepared by an attorney, or you can download or you can print out a will kit from the computer. I don't always recommend that unless you're very simple, because an attorney can ask you questions that will kit from your website or from the computer will never ask you. And passing your assets by will, if it's over the minimum required in the state you live in, which is typically $50,000 to $100,000, if your assets, total assets, are under that amount, like for instance in California it's $100,000, then your estate is not probated. If your assets total over $100,000 and you only have a will, then your estate has to be probated when you die. If you have not had a will prepared, the state you live in will have it prepared for you, and that's called the legislature, and there are state laws that take care of that. Typically, it can cost anywhere from a few $100 to 5 to 8% of your estate to probate it. Depends on the state you live in. It can take a matter of a couple of months to a couple of years to probate a will, depending on how complex your situation is and if there's any glitch in the process, like you have someone contests it or the document was not written clearly and there's some confusion. And the probate court has a problem in deciding what the wishes were of the people who have deceased, then it can take some time. If you live in a community property state, passing your estate from spouse to spouse is relatively easy because what you accumulate during your marriage is owned equally by each other. When one passes away, the survivor automatically gets control of what's left. Then when they die, it has to pass by will or by trust. So the second death is the issue, not the first death. Passing the estate from spouse to spouse is usually not that difficult. It's the second death where it becomes really critical. My wife and I, several years ago, were concerned about the potential delay of probate and the cost of probate. And so we talked about having a living trust, a revocable family trust prepared by an attorney for my wife and I, and so we did that. Attorney prepared the documents, prepared the trust. My wife and I have it reviewed every so often. In fact, every 2 years, we sit down and we read through it to make sure it still does what we originally intended for it to do, that the heirs are still the same heirs, the successor trustees are still the same successor trustees, and what we want to give to where is still intact, and sometimes changes are required. There are several advantages of revocable family trust. Number one, a trust bypasses probate. Wills have to be probated. Trusts do not. Trusts bypass probate. There will be minimal or no attorney fees at death. The attorney fees are when you had the trust prepared. Distribution can take place immediately. If my wife and I passed away in a common accident, our successor trustee, which happens to be our son, the minute he starts converting our assets to cash, can be distributing it to our heirs, our son, our daughter, and the Lord's work. You can revoke it or change it at any time. My wife and I are co-trustees of our trust, and we can change it any way we want. If I pass away, my wife is survivor trustee. She can change it any way she wants. She can do what she wants. Now she is the trustee. If I pass away and my wife passes away, we have a successor trustee. It's my son. He has now in control of the trust. He cannot change the trust. When the second death occurs between my wife and I, the trust is cast in concrete. My son cannot change it. His job is to carry out our wishes in the trust. If my wife and I and my son die in the same accident, my daughter is the second successor trustee. If my daughter and my son and my wife and I pass away in the common accident, we have a successor trustee that's outside the family. That's just to protect a succession of trustees so that there's not an issue that has to be settled by a judge. Letter E, it's confidential. Trust is confidential. A will is a matter of public record in most states. California, for instance, if someone passes away, anybody could go down to county courthouse a matter of a few weeks and get a copy of the will if there was one, which means it's public record. Trusts are confidential. They're confidential to the trustees and the heirs. Very difficult to contest a trust successfully. Wills are more easily contested with success, which is still rare. Trust is a little more difficult because it's a contract. Let me say it to you this way. When you pass the ownership of your assets by will, either written by you and your spouse or you or your spouse and or by the state you live in, you're passing that ownership under probate law. When you pass the ownership of your assets by trust, you're passing that ownership under contract law. My wife and I have written a legal binding contract honored by all 50 states. That's huge. Wills are typically state by state. State laws differ in some respect when it comes to wills. Trusts cross state borders. Another advantage, if my wife and I have two pieces of property, say one in California and one in Arizona, two different states, then we have them by will and we die, there has to be probate in each state and typically an attorney is required in each state. If we put those same properties in a trust, there is no probate. Typically, you don't need an attorney. On rare occasions, you might, because it passes by contract. Those are huge. Disadvantages of revocable living trusts. All property you wish to be distributed to the trust must be put into the trust. You have to fund the trust with your deeded entitled assets. There are times when I'll do a estate planning seminar in a church, and I'll stay at the home of one of the people who were in attendance, and they typically will get out their estate planning documents and ask me to read them over. And if it's a trust, I'll read it over, and a question I'll ask them is, who owns your home? What name is on the title? And typically they'll say, my wife and I. Well, you haven't funded the trust with your home. You quit claim deed the home into the family trust, and the home is owned by the trust. My wife and I don't own our home anymore. The Rickard Family Trust owns the home. So when we die, it passes by contract to the heirs, not by probate. The beneficiary of my life insurance is not my wife, it's the family trust. Why is that? If I pass away and my wife inherits my life insurance, and then she dies and that life insurance proceeds are in her checking account, you're back into probate. How do you get those life insurance proceeds from my deceased wife's estate to the children or to the Lord's work? By probate. If the beneficiary of my life insurance is the family trust and I die, the proceeds go into the family trust. My wife can write checks on that money as though it was in her own name. If she dies, the trust is in control of the proceeds, and the proceeds pass to our heirs by contract. Again, you've taken probate out of your life. A trust must be maintained over your lifetime. You have to remember that if you buy a piece of property, you buy it in the name of the trust. So our home is owned by the trust. Our beneficiary of our life insurance is the trust. I have some stock. I've given a copy of my trust agreement to the broker. When he buys stock, he buys it in the name of the trust. Our checking account is the name of the Rickard Family Trust. So any money we put in our checking account is owned by the trust. We write checks. We write them as trustees. It says it right on the check. Savings account is owned by the Rickard Family Trust. We've put all our documents together in a pile. Marriage certificate. Life insurance policies, retirement plans, deed to the home, titles to the cars. We've put them in a pile. We put a rubber band around that pile, and we've answered a series of questions that appear on our website. We've wrapped the answer to those questions around those documents, put them in our safe deposit box. My plane hits a mountain. My wife goes to the safe deposit box, takes out those documents. She knows exactly what to do and where everything is at. My wife and I are killed in a common accident. My son is on the safe deposit signature card. He's our successor trustee. He goes to the safe deposit box, gets out all our documents. He knows exactly where everything is and what he must do. It's pretty slick. I've counseled with many widows who are very confused about that when they lose their mate. They don't know where everything is at. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. Something happens to me, my wife is prepared. I would counsel you to do that with your spouse. We can help you do that at the foundation. So having an estate plan, having a trust, is important. When your attorney prepares a trust, he'll prepare also a pour-over will, P-O-U-R. That's how you take care of guardians. If you have minor children, you nominate guardians through your estate planning. Who gets the children if mom and dad pass away? Well, you nominate the guardians, but a judge has to have final say. So when you nominate guardians, the guardianship process has to go through the pour-over will because the judge has to be involved. And a judge would not be involved in a trust, so you don't nominate guardians through a trust, you do it through the pour-over will. An attorney who drafts your trust for you will also do a durable power of health, a durable power of attorney, that new HIPAA agreement that has just come out in recent years. where you have to have written approval for anybody to get access to your medical condition if you're in the hospital. That's huge. That attorney who prepares your trust will do all of that for you. That's included in the fee that he charges you to prepare that trust and pour over will. So having a trust or an up-to-date estate plan or a will is critical. That's stewardship. And to be a good steward, that's an important part of the process. This is Jim Rickard for Stewardship Services Foundation with a question for today.